Dan Patrick will join us here in just a moment. Overdrive continues. Brian Hayes and Team Joe Dog. No. Jonas Siegel and the O Dog coming together.
Why not just J Dog?
J Dog. I love it.
That's
I'm Al's brother. Al's brother's my guy. I'm not on his team.
Well, you two just agreed to this. I mean, you're going to get together.
I guess we have to see how it goes first.
I like it. I like it. What did we call it? Team Eye Test against Team...
Corsi.
Yeah. Team Eye Test versus Team Analytics.
And Brian, who won that matchup every time? Who won the matchup?
We generally did, yes. Team Eye Test generally won. We always won. It wasn't generally. It was 100%.
They have never beat us.
Never beat us, but that doesn't mean they won't get there at some point. And this is a totally different story. This is breaking down hockey games and breaking down hockey tape. And I can't wait to see it happen. So we're going to make that happen at some point soon. And I'll be there. I have to be there to make sure the two of you get along. And once those two brains come together, man, we are talking about an explosion of analysis.
Earth-shattering stuff. Who's our next guest?
We have Dan Patrick on the line.
I want to ask Dan what he if he takes into account any sporting event, the numbers versus the eye test, because he's an old school cat.
Here he is. You hear him every morning right here on TSN Radio. Here's Dan Patrick. Go ahead, O.
Dan, what do you think about that? You're probably a diehard ex-Whalers fan. Back in the day,
I was there for the last Whaler game.
A healthy scratch for that game, but anyway, it was fun. It was fun to watch. When you watch sports, do you take into account any kind of the new dynamic numbers that are out there, or is it any kind of factor in the way you watch sports, value players, value possession, anything like that?
I don't get into analytics. I just try to watch as a fan. I think you can get too caught up in things. And the reason why we love sports is because we grew up just watching it. We didn't have an agenda. There was nothing else there attached to it. We didn't worry about ratings or demographics or whatever it might be. It was just you watch. And I try to get back into that vacuum when I watch a sporting event, and that is just immerse yourself in it and enjoy it. And then you come back up for air when it's all said and done, and then you start to kind of process it. But I don't do a deep dive or try not to.
Well, in terms of, diving deeper into the two football games this weekend, we are incredibly compelled by the quarterback battles, as I think everyone is and everyone should be. Is there anything deeper, though, that should be getting more attention beyond Brady versus Rodgers? We assume Mahomes is going to play. Mahomes versus Allen.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get kind of sucked into that vortex. That is, let's just focus on the quarterbacks. And then on Monday, we're going to be saying, can you believe such and such made that play or didn't make that play? That's usually what it comes down to. If you look at some of the biggest games, in our history, in Super Bowl history, how many times do you get an outlier who comes in and sort of steals the headline? And I think that's because we focus so much on that position, because it's the toughest position in any sport to play, but we forget all of the other players that you have to have to have your quarterback get to that moment to be able to play in a big game like this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we saw that even in the Bucs-Saints game. As much as Brady played well, he did what he was supposed to do. He was essentially a system quarterback. I mean, it was the defense that won them that game. That was the storyline.
Yeah, and that's what we sometimes forget, is you'll have somebody make a play or two, and I thought that the Buccaneers defense won that game for them with the three interceptions, and they just seemed younger and fresher on defense. And then Brady's job is, you don't want to say he's a game manager, but he is. He's going to manage a game, and that used to be a compliment when I was growing up, when you had Bart Starr, the Packers, or Bob Greasy, or Johnny Unite. Like, they manage the game, because you take your spots where you take your chances there. Too many times nowadays, you'll get these guys who think that they can just go out there and make it seem like they're playing in the Big 12 where there's no defense. Brady is managing a game. Drew Brees had to manage a game. It's just Drew Brees was so limited in what he could do with his arm. Now you get Josh Allen, and you get Patrick Mahomes, the younger quarterback. Can they manage a game when you need to manage a game instead of trying to force something to happen? That's something that Brady, Peyton Manning, Montana, all the greats realized. If it's not there, there's nothing wrong with living to see another play. That's what I'm curious about in the AFC, because Josh Allen's going to want to get in and go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, whereas Rodgers is going to take his chances when they're there. He'll be opportunistic, and then Brady's going to do the same. I don't think Brady goes, boy, I got to get into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. He won't win that. But I think Josh Allen may think in his mind, hey, I could win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, and that could be dangerous.
You can hear the Dan Patrick Show every morning right here on TSN Radio. We're chatting with Dan, and the early theme of this conversation has been the evolution of sports and sports talk, and the GOAT conversation is something that comes up naturally all the time, and I hear you guys talk about it, we talk about it. And we were discussing Drew Brees and his legacy yesterday, Dan, and I think he's a victim of the GOAT debate, where I don't think he has to explain anything. I don't think he needs to try to basically sell people on how great of a career he had. I've heard some people suggest he shortchanged himself for New Orleans because he only got one Super Bowl, only got to one Super Bowl. I guess he got to a couple, I think. But I see him as a top 10 quarterback. I see his story is incredibly compelling. His name is all over the record books. And just because he's not Tom Brady doesn't mean that he isn't a great player. I think the GOAT debate has changed everything, and it doesn't allow us just to see a player for what he is and appreciate that. Where do you stand on Brees and his story?
Yeah, I think it's a great point that if you're not the greatest, then we denigrate you. And it's not fair to those who have come before all these great quarterbacks, where we didn't do this when I was growing up. You just said, boy, that guy's great. You didn't go, well, is he ninth on the list? Is right. Is he seventh on the list? Now everything is a ranking. Everything's ranked. You got to rank everybody. I hate the ranking. Do you realize Aaron Rodgers was 12th on a ranking list of quarterbacks going into this season? 12th. And now he's going to be the MVP. That's why.
Is that slam dunk, Dan, by the way? Is that slam dunk MVP? Aaron Rodgers, yeah. That's slam dunk? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in my opinion. I think what hurt Mahomes is the last couple of games didn't mean anything. He didn't put up, you know, big numbers, and Aaron Rodgers did. And sometimes it's that last moment, that last memory that people think about, and they go, boy, Aaron Rodgers has been great against the Bears here. Okay, Mahomes was great during the regular season, but I thought Aaron Rodgers, and plus the writers, as you guys know, they love a good story. You know, you got to write another Patrick Mahomes story? Aaron Rodgers, this is a great story. Coming back, they draft a quarterback. You know, he's not sure how long he's going to stay in Green Bay, and then he has maybe the greatest season of his career. And I think you got to factor that in as well. But when you start to compare generations, that's where I think you get in. It's just dangerous, because if I was going to say who's the best basketball player of all time, I wouldn't say Bill Russell. But I would say prior to 1970, I would say Bill Russell. After 1970, then I think we can have a conversation about it. But Bill Russell in today's game would be a marginal player. He just would be. Now, he might be more athletic, but he couldn't shoot. He was on a great team with 8 or 9 Hall of Famers, maybe the greatest coach and GM of all time. But in today's NBA, he wouldn't survive. You know, would Wilt be great here? Jerry West, you know, these guys, Oscar Robertson. But then, you know, we want to go, well, LeBron and Michael, and then who else is on the list? Do you realize that one day we're going to go, you know, Larry Bird's not in the top 10 anymore? One day that'll happen.
Right.
Because there's only 10 that can be in the top 10, and we keep going, well, that guy's a top 10 player, and then Kobe, and then you put in Shaq, and then you got to put in, and all of a sudden you're going to go, gosh, where'd Magic go? Where'd Larry go? And that's where I hate to see this happen with people who didn't see them play. I got to see everybody play but Bill Russell in person. And I always caution people. You know, if you didn't see them, you didn't understand the impact that they could have or how great they were in their era. And, you know, we tend to just look at stats and go, oh, yeah, I know how good that guy was or wasn't. And I think Drew Brees falls into that. It's like you only had one Super Bowl. You threw for 80,000 yards. If he threw for 50,000, we might be more lenient with him and go, hey, he threw for 50,000 and he threw for, 307 touchdowns. He won a Super Bowl. We might look at that as that he overachieved. Now we look at him and say he underachieved.
Another quarterback story in the NFL, Dan, is the Deshaun Watson in Houston. It was massive deal, loses his main target, and now things have seemed to be gone completely south. How do you see this playing out here? Because he apparently is not responding to the organization, and it's just a mess there. How do you see it all playing out?
No, I think we lost Dan. We'll see if we can get him back.
It was a good
on.
Question.
That was, yeah, I want to see, because every day it's going more and more south for that relationship. Oh, do we have you, Dan? We can hear you now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it goes a lot deeper than just football moves. I think that, you know, there's race involved in this. I think there's a lot involved in this with Deshaun. And I think that he sees this organization and looks around and goes, this is Groundhog Day. Nothing changed. You changed names, changed people, but... You know, they wanted to have a celebratory party commemoration when Obama was elected president. Players did. And from what I'm told, the owner wouldn't allow him to do it. Oh, so there's more things involved in this, and I think will probably come out. But I think Deshaun Watson, I'd be surprised if he's there the start of this next season. Because, first of all, the team isn't good. Salary cap hell. J.J. Watt won't be there next year. You don't have any draft picks. You didn't get a chance to say anything about who you wanted to be your coach. Unless they hire Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs, who Deshaun wants, I can't imagine he's going to go, yep, I'm ready to go to battle for this organization and win four games again this year.
Well, and that's exactly been that's been the history down there, as you just pointed out. And as we shift to the NBA, we're chatting with Dan Patrick, the Brooklyn Nets with a win last night. And Kyrie Irving, I guess, is coming back tomorrow night. That's our understanding. I guess it's completely unknown until we see him. But if this works out, if Brooklyn goes on a run, gets to an NBA final, maybe wins a title, is that a good thing for the NBA? How do you think we should be reacting to that?
Yeah, because you're looking for a storyline. What's the storyline in the NBA this year? There really isn't one. And the Nets came along and gave us a storyline that we can follow. And, you know, you can guarantee that Kyrie will add some drama to this, and maybe Harden does as well. It's an East Coast team, so the East Coast media gets to see them, watch the games, report on them, talk shows, get to see the game in its entirety. So I think it was a godsend. I think it was something the NBA, although Adam Silver, the commissioner, probably wouldn't admit it, but he's probably secretly going, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because no, I think you're Houston's right. It's irrelevant. The most compelling story right now, absolutely, in sports.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted. You know, we were looking for – we hadn't talked about the NBA very much, and this kind of came along, and you're like, that's one of the hot-button topics here.
Yep, you got us for sure. Moving forward, you can hear him every morning right here on TSN Radio on the Dan Patrick Show, Dan and the Danettes, and it's always great to catch up with you, Dan. Enjoy the upcoming weekend in football and the Super Bowl down the road, and we'll do this again at some point. Thank you for this.
One of these days, we get back in Toronto, and thank you again, guys, for all the support. We appreciate it.
You got it. Absolutely. There he is, Dan Patrick, every morning right here on TSN 1050. So, he makes a good point about the NBA just kind of being there. And even from our standpoint with the Raptors, they're not even in their hometown. You know, they're in Tampa. They're out of sight, out of mind. They had such a poor start. I think that affected a lot of people's views, although they're storming back now. I mean, last night was the most impressive effort they put forth all year.
Dude, I have no idea how the location of something on television factors in. And I know when they're crossing over with the Maple Leafs, I'm tuning into the hockey game. I'll have them on a separate TV. But it's like down in Tampa, when it's there's no difference. Down in Tampa and here,
I'll
but for some
the
reason, there's a difference, Hayes.
What the difference is, guys like Jonas is in the rink watching the practice this morning. But what I mean is our people, quote-unquote, that cover the team, they're not there. And that's a big part of the whole journey. It's like
right. It's like covering the Raptors, and then at the start of the article, it says Toronto. It's like, no, you're not. It's
yeah,
not
you're
in Toronto.
Exactly. Josh is writing that from Toronto. They're down in Tampa, where Josh would be down there at the facility. You know, he'd be at the OVO. He'd be covering it. You can sense they're not here. It's different. You can sense the Leafs are here. Like, you can sense that they're in town. You can't get to them.
Yeah.
You can't get into the building, but you can sense that they're here. and you don't with the Raptors, you didn't with the Blue Jays, and it's just a little bit different. But you know, the Brooklyn Nets, every night they play, it's like I got to see it tomorrow night. If Kyrie's playing, I got to see what that looks like. I have to.
Yeah, and have we been too hard on him? Because now everyone's rolling out the list of all the charities, what he's done for people, and he's like, "You don't know me, don't judge me."
Those are separate discussions. No one's suggesting you shouldn't do that or you don't get applauded for that. That's incredible. Good for you.
I get it.
Just leaving your team for 7 games, you can't expect people to just sit there and say, "Oh, no problem. That's totally acceptable or totally fine." You know, I don't think it's fair to drag the personal life and the personal endeavors and maybe the charitable work and all that into a discussion about basketball. This was about the basketball team and the basketball player, you know, not the person. And I understand how it can become a bit of a gray area. I get it. But, like, if you're talking about the player and the team, you're not talking about the person and their personal lives.